I want you to open your Bibles, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. 27th chapter, Matthew's Gospel, verse 29. Verse number 29, Matthew 27. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and they took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took a robe off from him. They put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, whom they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they give him vinegar to drink, mingled with the gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness over all the land until the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man called for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. The text of scripture that I want to leave with you this evening is found in the verse number 42 of Matthew's Gospel 27. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. He saved others. Himself, he cannot save. There is no more precious time given to man than the time that a man stands or a woman stands at the foot of the cross and considers the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary for lost humanity. You see, the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross was no mistake. The Bible tells us that he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in the heart of God, before God ever formed this earth, this world, or hung it on its axis, God had a plan for the redemption of fallen mankind. And that was the giving of his only begotten Son, co-equal, co-eternal, who dwelt in the bosom of the Father before he ever came to the bosom of a woman. And there we find that Jesus Christ humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, and one day died upon the cross of Calvary. Whenever we think about the cross of Jesus Christ, there are many people that are connected with that scene. I think of Judas Iscariot, the one who sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, the materialism of Judas. I think of Peter, the one who vowed that if all men would forsake him, that he would remain faithful, and yet we find that the Lord Jesus had warned Peter that before the cock would crow, that he would deny him thrice, and we see the denials of Peter. We think of Pilate, the one, my friend, who desired to keep in the society in which he lived. We see the politics of Pilate, even though his wife had a dream and warned him to have nothing to do with that just man, because she had suffered many things in a dream because of him. We think of the soldiers. We think, my friend, the Bible says, in sitting down, they watched him there, the soldiers, the hardness of these big men, as he looked upon the Christ of Calvary, as he stripped him of his garments and put on him the scarlet robe, as they plaited the crown of thorns and put it upon his head, as they tore the hair from his cheeks, as they mocked, as they scoffed, as they bowed the knee before him, and mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Yes, we see the hardness of the soldiers. We think of the high priest. We think of Caiaphas and Annas, and we see the envy of their hearts, because as they watch the Lord Jesus Christ work his miracles, we see the crowds of people as they gather round him, and we see the envy in the high priest's heart, and they sought to go to kill him. And on it goes, friend. Many in that final week in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the crowd. And as we think about the crowd, we think of the fickleness of that crowd. Because let me tell you, my friend, there is nothing new in the fickleness of the crowd. Because remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming down the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem, they spread their palm leaves and their garments before him, and they cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And now, friend, we hear the crowd crying, "Crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us." But of course, there's nothing new there, because Moses knew the fickleness of the crowd. Joshua knew the fickleness of the crowd. Elijah faced the fickleness of the crowd. And the crowd can be shouting, "Hosanna," one day, and then "Away with him" the next day. And when we come to this scene of Calvary, it says in verse 41, "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said." I want us to think of what he said. They said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save." And I believe, my friend, that those scoffers of the chief priests with the scribes and the elders, they said more than they realized they were saying. "He saved others." Can't you hear the chant of the crowd, friend? Look at verse number 39-40. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself! Save thyself!" Can't you hear the chant of the crowd? "Save thyself!" Then let me tell you, that's exactly what people are trying to do today. Men and women are trying by the efforts of their own hands. They're trying to save themselves. Oh, the trouble. Oh, the effort. Oh, the expense. Oh, the schemes by which men try to save themselves. And the worst thing they could think to say of Christ as he hung there on the cross, those chief priests and those scribes and those elders, was this. Here's a jibe. Here's a taunt. Here's a sneer. He saved others. Himself. He cannot see. Friend, I want you to notice, as they said that to the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, they were taunting in their twisted thinking the blessed Son of God and saying, Jesus, you're a failure. You're a failure. You saved others. Yourself. You cannot see. You see, friends, they believed when they cried out, save thyself. You see, that's what man is always trying to do. He's trying to save himself. There are people, let me tell you, friend, they would sink someone in a spoonful of water if it only saved their skin. Man is out to save himself. He doesn't care who gets into trouble. He doesn't care the heartache he causes. He doesn't care the heartbreak he brings. Because man is out to save himself. That's why they cried on the Savior on the cross as they walked past and they were taunting him, and the Bible says they were reviling him and they were wagging their heads and they're crying out to the Son of God, save yourself! Save yourself! And then he said this, he saved others. Oh, what a failure. Himself. He cannot save. And yet, friend, I want you to notice in what they said that day. First of all was this. Little did they know in their taunts, little did they know in their sneers and in their scoffing and in their scorning and in their jibes, little did they know that they were giving the best tribute to the Son of God. You say, what was the tribute, preacher? Here it is. Verse 42. He saved others. He saved others. You see, even though it was said as a biting jibe against the Son of God, as if the Savior was a failure, that the cross was somehow was a failure. You see, man thought that he had planned the cross. Man thought that he had designed the cross, that somehow that he was the one that was in control of the scene of the cross, and they were getting rid of Christ at the cross. Little did they know that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Little did they know that they were, friend, let me tell you, playing on the stage that God had set. And not them at all. Little did they know, instead of them being in control, it was the hand of a sovereign God who had purposed the redemption of fallen mankind by the death, the substitutionary death of his Son upon the cross of Calvary. And in their jibe, in reality, unknown by them, they were making and giving a wonderful tribute to the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. Why did he come? To save others. That's why he came. Thank God there were those that were standing that day. They could say, Lord Jesus, that's true. You saved others. There were fishermen, their names were Peter and Andrew, James and John. The Lord Jesus Christ walked by the Sea of Galilee one day, and these men were in their nets and at their boats, and they were doing their normal work. They were just fishing for fish. The Lord Jesus came along that day, and the Lord Jesus said, Peter, Andrew, and then James and John, he said, follow me. Friend, the Bible says that those men, they left their nets and they followed the Son of God. Listen, friend, let me tell you, the Lord changed their lives that day. They followed Christ by faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ turned them from the old mundane things of this world just to fishing in their nets and fishing in the sea for fish. And the Lord Jesus said, follow me. And he said, I will make you fishers of men. He saved them that day. Their lives were changed never to be the same again. You see, he saved others. There's a man sitting one day. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. His name was Matthew. And Matthew was a publican. He was one that, like many of the other publicans or the tax gatherers of that day, he had exploited the people and when he was collecting the taxes, and the Lord Jesus passed him by one day, and the Lord Jesus Christ called Matthew to leave his dishonest, shady dealings. And Jesus said, Matthew, follow me. And friend, Matthew left his past. And the Lord gave him a present. He left the old life and the Lord gave him a new life. And friend, that's what Jesus does. He wants you to leave the old life. He wants you to leave the old stinking rags of your sin and your own stinking rags of your old self-righteousness. And he wants to take your dark, lonely past and sinful past, and he wants to change your life. And glory to God, Matthew no longer sat there at the receipt of custom, but he followed Jesus in the way. Jesus saved him. One day the Lord Jesus came, having crossed the Sea of Galilee to the place called Gadara, and there was a man among the tombs. And he was running, cutting himself. He was possessed of the devil. He was empowered and energized by the demons of hell. And they were chasing him. They were driving him on. He tried to commit suicide. The devil would say to him, there's no hope and you might as well finish it all. And he laid down among the tombs. He left his family. You say, how do I know? Because Jesus said when he chased him, he says, go home to your family. And that day Jesus came. He came to the right place at the right time to meet the right man. And he saved him. He delivered him from the power of a sinful past. He broke the power of the demonic power that was in his life, and he set him gloriously free. The Lord Jesus Christ was going through a crowd one day. There was a wee woman, and for 12 years she had an issue of blood. And friend, her strength was draining away. She heard of Jesus, the one who could change a life. And she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'd be whole. There was a crowd of people gathered around the Savior that day, and I see that wee woman, she's bent over now. And she spent everything she had to try to get physicians to heal her, but none could do her good. And as Jesus passed by, she came in the crowd and she reached out her wee bony hand. And friend, with simple, childlike faith, she touched the Savior. And immediately she was whole. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" His disciples were around him and they said, "But Master, what do you mean? Who touched me? Who touched you?" "Sure, the crowd of people are gathered around you. There are many people are touching you." "No," Jesus said, "somebody touched me." Yes, there was a crowd, but my friend, let me tell you, there was one woman touched him. Because the virtue went out of Christ in healing power and healed that woman. He looked around. This is what he said. He saw her. But you said there's a crowd there. Let me tell you, my friend, he doesn't save in crowds. He saw her. And the wee woman came to Jesus' feet. And I think I can see her look up into her face, his face, and say, "Master, it was me." "Woman, thy faith has saved thee." She was whole. Friend, we can go through the scriptures. I see the woman taken into adultery. And they bring her to Jesus and they throw her down. And those men stand in judgment over her. They're mocking and sneering. And Jesus said, "He who's without the sin is without sin. Let him cast the first stone." Then just all of a sudden, the crowd of men just start pulling back because they knew they too were sinners. They knew that they too were vile. And the Savior, by one simple word, friend, one simple sentence from the Son of God, let me tell you, and the crowd knew exactly. He knew their hearts. He knew their sin. And they disappeared. And Jesus says, "Where are thine accusers?" And he said, "There's none of them, Master." He said these words. He says, "Neither do I condemn thee." He says, "Go and sin no more." He pardoned her sin, friend. He didn't excuse her sin. He pardoned her sin. Thank God he put away her sin. And praise God, that day her life was changed. Yes, he saved others. There was a thief on the cross. And he hangs there at the side of the blessed Son of God, friend. And let me tell you, in the midst of the scene of Calvary, the blessed Spirit of God opens his darkened eyes and the sinful soul. And he sees Jesus Christ as he has never seen him before. And he said these words to me. He says, "Lord, you see, no man can call him Lord but by the Holy Ghost, friend." And this was the work of God in this man's heart. And he who was started with his mate, reviling the Son of God and throwing accusations in his teeth and had that sinful past and lived that murderous life. And my friend, as he hung there on the cross, he cried out, he said, "Lord, Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Savior was in Simon's house. And as he lay there, upon reclining upon the seat, was eating Simon's food, there was a sinful woman came in out of the street. She stood there in silence. But friend, let me tell you this, this sinful woman was in tears. And she made her way to the feet of the blessed Son of God, and she knelt down behind the feet of the Son of God, friend, and she shed her tears. And I believe as you stood in the presence of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, friend, the Spirit of God showed that woman her awful sin. The awful sin of her heart. The awful sin of her life. The homes that she had broken. The lives that she had destroyed. And as she stood in the presence of the sinless one, the blessed Son of God, she just knelt down at his feet and she never spoke a word. Her heart was breaking and she was melted. That's what God can do, friend. God can melt the hardened sinner. And the tears fell down in the feet of the Son of God. And as she saw those tears, as they fall upon his feet, she takes her hair, which was her glory. The hair that she had flaunted before many a man, friend. The hair that she had beguiled many a man with in her sinful past and her sinful life. And she unlocks her hair. And she takes her hair and she dries the feet of Christ. She's broken over sin. And the Savior said, woman, thy sins, which are many, you see, he knew her sin. He knew there were many. He said, they're forgiven thee. Go in peace. Friends, let me tell you tonight, thank God Jesus saves. And maybe you're in this service tonight and you come in and maybe you don't even know why you're here. Maybe it's because somebody invited you. Maybe it's curiosity and you've come to God's house. Maybe there's somebody listening in across the world. And you say, preacher, if you could only know, if you could only see a window in my heart, if you could only see through my heart and see the brokenness and see that I'm tired of my sin and I'm broken over my sin and sad for my sin and I'm sorrowful for my sin and I grieve because of my sin. And I find there's no place of comfort and I find that there's no place of rest. Thank God there is. It's in the cross of Christ. For listen to these words, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And the blood can cleanse you tonight. And you can know God's pardon. And you can know God's forgiveness. Yes, he saved that woman that day. As he saved the dying thief. As he saved the sinful woman of Samaria. As he saved Jairus' daughter from the power of death. And the woman from the power of disease. And the demon of Gadara from the power of the demons and the devils. Glory to God. He can save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. You see, there was no greater tribute they could pay. He saved others. They didn't think they were attributing the Son of God. They did not think that they were paying tribute to the coming of the Son of God. You see, my friend, there's not only the best tribute here. There's the basic truth. Do you know, as I read that passage again tonight, let's go to verse 40. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Verse 42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Friend, as you go through this passage of God's word, as you go to Luke's gospel, you'll find that over and over again, what are they talking about? They're talking about saved. 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 And you see, what they were really saying, friends, listen, even though they didn't realize it, they were saying more than they knew that they were saying. You see, they were talking about the purpose that Jesus Christ had really come into this world for. Jesus, the Son of God. Do you remember Joseph was spoken to by the angels? And what did the angel say? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Why? Why Jesus? Why not Joe? Why not Harry? Why Jesus?
for he shall save. He shall save his people from their sins.
Speaking to Zacchaeus, the wee man that climbed the tree to see the Son of God, and Jesus Christ said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus this. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. That's the basic truth. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9, he said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, Paul said of him who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, have all men to be saved. Over and over again in the scriptures, friend, the tribute to the Son of God is that Jesus saves. Remember the wee chorus? He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save. He came. And when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. What did Paul say writing to the Roman believers? He said this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 it said that the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Saved. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Thank God he saves from the snare of sin. Thank God he saves from the sentence of sin. Thank God he saves from the sorrow of sin. Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around. That's the basic truth, friend. And that's what this pulpit is preaching. This pulpit preaches salvation through the blood. Salvation through the cross of Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is necessary for the soul, because by our own selves we cannot save ourselves. You see, it says he saves others. Himself he could not save. Save thyself! Maybe there's someone tonight and you're trying to save yourself. You're trying to work your way to heaven. You're trying to get yourself into a position that somehow you'll be good enough to go on with God. Let me tell you this. The devil's lying to you. You'll be in hell. The devil's lying to you. You can never save yourself. Having the power to save yourself. For at best you're only a sinner. At best we're only sinners saved by the grace of God. Here's the besetting tragedy in this, friend, very quickly. Notice what they said. Little did they know what they were saying that day. Listen to the words again. He saved others. He saved others. What a tragedy. What a tragedy, if that's what you can only say tonight. Listen, Jesus saved others. And these men that were gathered round the cross, these chief priests and these mocking scribes and these elders and these soldiers and the people there, and they're crying out and they're sneering the Son of God, and they're saying something, my friend, and they only realized what they were saying. It's a sad reality. It's a sad tragedy. Jesus saved others. But not me. Jesus saved others, but not me. others but them. After all they saw, after all they heard, after all they witnessed, when Jesus died, friend, upon the cross of Calvary, all they could say was this: He saved others. Is that what you have to say tonight? Is that what you have to honestly say tonight, friend, and this is the house of God? Do you remember the man the Lord Jesus Christ came to, and that rich young ruler in Mark's Gospel chapter 7? And he come running to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus looked into the face of that young man, and the Bible says he loved him. And as the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the question that he was asked, and he posed the question to his heart, this young man's heart, the Lord knew that there was a God in his life that had got to be dealt with. There was a sin there that had got to be dealt with. He could not pass by, because let me tell you, my friend, there was already a God reigning in his heart, and it was the God of his possessions. And the word of God says, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And in this man's life, there was already a God, and it had to be dealt with. And Jesus said, "All that you have and give to the, sell all that you have and give to the poor." Jesus looked right into that young man's heart, and he knew the problem. And the Bible said these words: "He went away sorrow." Nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us that that man ever could see a friend. And the old demon of Gadara could see it. And I can hear that poor soul saying, "He saved that old demon of Gadara. Others. But not me. Not me." The Bible tells us also in the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, there was an intelligent lawyer came to Christ, and he asked the Lord Jesus, "What was the greatest commandment?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered that young lawyer, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength." And he said, "The second commandment is that you love your neighbor as yourself." And that young lawyer knew just exactly what Jesus Christ saying was true. And the young lawyer looked at the Savior, friend. But then he walked away. And you know what Jesus said to him before he walked away? He said these words: "Thou art not far from the kingdom." Not far from. But not in. And I can see that young lawyer. And he can look at the woman, the simple woman that walked into the street. And Jesus said to her, "Thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. Go in peace." And I can hear him say, "Saved that harlot. But I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Thou art not far from the kingdom, young man," Jesus said. Is that what is the reality in this service tonight? Somebody, and you're not far from the kingdom, but you're not in it. Is there a God already in your life? And God says, I shall have no other gods before me. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to repent of your sin. If you're going to be saved, friend, let me tell you this. You can't have your sin. I'm the Savior. You've got to turn from your sin. You've got to be willing to trust Christ to deal with all of your sin and change your life completely. He saves others. I hear the Jews in the book of Jeremiah chapter 8 cry these words. The harvest is past and the summer is ended. But we are not saved. We're not saved. Friend, can I ask you a question as we come to a close tonight? If this is your last day on earth, if this is your last sermon, if this is the last gospel appeal that you'll ever hear, and you're summoned to meet God Almighty, for one day you must stand before Him. Will you have to confess, Lord Jesus, you saved others. But I didn't come. You saved my family. But not me. You saved men in the street that I know that were in the depths of sin. But I'm not saved. The place I work. You saved men that were, and women that were down in the gutter. But Lord, you saved them. But Lord, I'm not saved. You saved others, but not me. Then let me tell you, the fault's not the Lord's. Jesus says, come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I leave this thought with you. There's a blessed triumph. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 25, it tells the story of the men that were in the boat. And the water started to come into the boat, and the Lord Jesus Christ was lying asleep at the hinder part of the ship for him. And the disciples were there in the boat, and then they ran in verse 25, and I can see them. And they were hopeless and they were helpless, and they come to the Savior, and they wake the Savior out of his sleep, and they said this, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, we find the story of Peter. And the Lord comes walking in the water, and Peter realizes it's the Lord. And he said, Lord, if it be thou who bid me to come to thee in the water. And Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter started to walk and come make his way to the Lord. And he got his eyes upon the waves, and he got his eyes upon the wind, friend. And he took his eyes on the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter began to sink. And as Peter began to sink, he lifted his eyes to the Savior. And this is what he said. He said, Lord, verse 30. Lord, save me. Are you willing to pray that tonight? Are you willing to ask the Lord to deal with your sin tonight? Are you willing to be a part of the others? Are you willing to cry to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord. I'm lost. I'm sinful. I'm bound for hell. God, if I die as I am, I'll be in hell for all eternity. God, I don't want to perish. Men cried, Lord, save us, we perish. They were afraid of the water. Men and women are dying in their sin, friends. They're going out into a lost eternity and they can't see it. They're going out to hell. Oh, that you would cry tonight, Lord, save me. Let's pray. Heavenly Fathers, our heads are bowed before thee tonight. Thou knowest the hearts of the people that are gathered here, and thou knowest the problems. Thou knowest the situation of their hearts, and thou knowest the sin. There's someone here tonight, Lord, and
You're passing this way and you're a God ready to pardon. You're a God ready to save. You're a God ready to forgive. Lord, all over this gathering tonight, there's others that you've already saved. We thank you for that. We thank you. Many can sing, "Love lifted me." Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name that you'll reach down into the depths and the gutters of sin and you set precious souls free. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, will you pray that prayer, "Lord, save me"? Hymn writer says, "Whilst on others thou art calling." Yes, Jesus saved others. One of the opening hymns before we started the service tonight, you sang, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Whilst on others thou art calling." What was the next three part, friend, you sang? "Do not pass me by, Savior. Savior, hear my humble cry. Whilst on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Did you mean that tonight? Do you really mean that when you sang it? Lord Jesus, don't pass me by. You saved others. Oh, they said himself he could not save. Let me tell you, my friend, himself he would not save. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die for you and me. As our heads are bowed and God's people are praying, child of God, really take hold of the horns of the altar tonight and pray, "God, save souls." I wonder, is there someone tonight and you say, "Preacher, before God, I mean this. I'm crying tonight before God, Lord, save me. Me. Lord, save me." If that's the prayer of your heart, father, mother, son, or daughter, in the closing second of this meeting, if that's the prayer of your heart, you say, "Preacher, point me to Jesus. I want the Lord to save me." Or if there's someone backslidden, you want the Lord to restore you, friend. Just as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you lift that hand before God? Just raise it toward heaven. Indicate that desire. There's a desire in your heart. You want the Lord to deal with your heart tonight. Sinner, you want the Lord to save you. Backslider, you want the Lord to restore you. Lord, save me. Would you lift that hand right now in the closing second of this meeting, friend? Sister, I'll play one little verse and the meeting's over. "Just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come." This is your invitation. This is your invitation, friend, maybe the last one. "Lord, please, Lord, save me." Young woman, tonight, is that the cry of your heart? Young man, is that the cry of your heart? Father, mother, young or old? Is there someone, and that's the cry of your heart tonight before God? "Lord, save me." Would you just lift that hand right now before God? O Lamb of God, I come. Heavenly Father, the work's thine. Work in hearts, even tonight, Lord, as men and women seek to go away, we pray you'll turn their feet to the inquiry room and bring them to the cross. Bring them to Jesus. We ask this in your lovely name and for your sake. We're here to help you. Please don't go away without the Lord. We'll gladly open the scriptures and show you from God's word
how you can be saved and know you're saved. May God give you grace to come for Jesus' sake.